Sam Walton's journey from a small-town merchant to creating the world's largest retail corporation isn't just a business success story. It's a masterclass in American entrepreneurship. What makes this tale so compelling is that Walton wasn't born with extraordinary advantages or talents. He was simply a hard-working man with an unquenchable competitive spirit and an eye for retail innovation. When Forbes named him America's richest man in 1985, reporters expected to find a lavish lifestyle. Instead, they discovered a humble man in an old pickup truck, getting haircuts at the local barber shop, wearing his signature Walmart cap. This disconnect between his immense wealth and modest lifestyle wasn't an act. It reflected core values that would become the foundation of his business empire. Growing up during the Great Depression, Walton learned the value of hard work and thrift early. He milked cows for his mother's small milk business and maintained paper routes through college. These formative experiences shaped his lifelong belief that money must be earned through diligent effort, a principle that would later define Walmart's operational philosophy. When asked why he drove a pickup truck despite his billions, his answer was characteristically straightforward. What else would I haul my dogs in? Walton's competitive spirit defined him from youth. At 13, he became Missouri's youngest Eagle Scout after betting he'd achieve it first. Despite his small frame, his determination earned him the quarterback position, leading his high school team to an undefeated state championship. This winning mentality shaped his business approach. I never played in a losing football game, he noted, creating an expectation of victory that became self-fulfilling. When facing retail giants like Kmart, they were simply another opponent to defeat. This drive fueled his constant innovation and willingness to experiment with practices others considered risky. After brief stints at JCPenney and military service, Walton bought his first Ben Franklin store in 1945. Investing $5,000 of his own money and borrowing $20,000 from his father-in-law. His inexperience became an advantage. Without preconceived retail notions, he approached business with fresh eyes, studying competitors extensively and working tirelessly, even taking the ferry to Tennessee after hours to hunt for bargain merchandise. Despite transforming his Newport Ben Franklin into Arkansas's top-performing variety store, Walton faced devastation when his landlord refused to renew his lease, wanting to give the store to his son. Rather than becoming bitter about this contract oversight, Walton demonstrated remarkable resilience. I've never been one to dwell on setbacks. I saw this as a challenge to pick myself up and do it all over again, only better this time. After relocating to Bentonville, Arkansas, a town of just 3,000 people with three existing variety stores, he implemented revolutionary concepts like self-service shopping, making his store only the third self-service variety store in America. What distinguished Walton was his willingness to experiment and learn from anyone. He rode overnight buses to study innovative store concepts and constantly tested new merchandise displays. When a clerk insisted imported sandals wouldn't sell in Arkansas, he tied them in pairs, priced them at 19 cents on a table display, and watched them become one of their fastest-selling items ever. By 1960, Walton had built America's largest independent variety store operation with 15 stores, but recognized its limited growth potential. His breakthrough came from studying early discount retailers on the East Coast and recalling his Newport lesson about how sales volume surged at lower price points. Walton traveled extensively to study discount operations, from East Coast mill stores to Saul Price's Fed Mart in California. In 1962, the same year Kmart and Target launched, he opened his first Walmart in Rogers, Arkansas. It was a massive financial risk. He and his wife Helen pledged everything they owned, borrowing to the hilt to make it happen. The name Walmart came from a suggestion that it would require fewer letters for signage. The two phrases on that first sign captured Walton's core philosophy perfectly. we sell for less on one side and satisfaction guaranteed on the other. This combination of rock-bottom prices with customer satisfaction became the cornerstone of Walmart's explosive growth. What truly separated Walmart from competitors wasn't just low prices or efficient operations. It was a revolutionary approach to employee relations. Walton called it the partnership, discovering a paradox many executives still miss. Sharing profits with employees actually increases company profits. Why? Because employees treat customers exactly how management treats them. This wasn't merely philosophical. Walton implemented concrete profit-sharing programs after going public in 1970. Any employee working at least 1,000 hours annually could participate, taking their share as cash or stock upon leaving. Many early employees retired wealthy. Truck driver Bob Clark accumulated over $700,000, while department head Georgia Sanders, who started at $1.65 an hour in 1968, retired with $200,000. Equally revolutionary was Walton's commitment to transparency. Every store shared financial information, profits, purchases, sales, and markdowns with everyone from managers to part-time cashiers. While competitors warned of information leaks, Walton believed the benefits of treating associates as true business partners far outweighed any risks. After going public, Walmart implemented their transformative strategy, placing large discount stores in small towns others ignored. While Kmart avoided markets below 50,000 population and competitors wouldn't enter towns under 10,000, Walmart thrived in communities as small as 5,000 residents. Their expansion was methodical. They built stores within a day's drive of distribution centers, saturated markets from edges inward, and used Walton's airplane for property scouting. I'd fly low, turn the plane on its side, and study traffic patterns, growth directions, and competition, Walton recalled. We'd land, find property owners, and try to make deals on the spot. This approach yielded remarkable growth. From 32 stores and $31 million in sales in 1970 to 276 stores and $1.2 billion by 1980. Competitors who wondered how Walmart opened 50 stores annually while they managed just 5 or 6 underestimated Walton's appetite for calculated risks and his talent for developing people quickly. Sam Walton's 10 rules guided his 5-decade retail career. He committed fully to business, shared profits with associates, and kept employees informed, knowing information breeds investment. He celebrated wins, found humor in failures, and made work enjoyable. Walton consistently defied convention. Go the other way, he advised. Ignore conventional wisdom. If everybody else is doing it one way, there's a good chance you can find your niche by going in exactly the opposite direction. The Walmart revolution succeeded because one determined merchant refused to accept limitations, learned from everyone he met, and built a culture balancing thrift with generosity. He transformed both American shopping habits and global retail operations. If I were starting out now, he reflected near life's end, I'd likely be selling something at the retail level where I could relate directly to customers. Even in our digital age, this customer connection remains retail's foundation, proving fundamental principles continue driving business innovation.